Hey, this is Steve Scott. I am artist on Blue Nemesis, former artist on Batman, JLA, you name it. Anyway, welcome to the Fanboy Factor.
The Fanboy Factor. I'm Brian Isaacs. With me, as always, is Mike Hopkins, JQ, Mike Sanchez, and Khalil Kotop, the editor of Caster's Corner.
Yo!
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
No.
Hey, guys.
Well, as we said last week, it was Comic-Con. It is finally wrapping up, and a lot of stuff coming out of there. So, you know, first off, you know, one of the long-standing traditions of Comic-Con is the Eisners, which is pretty much the Oscars of the comic book world. Some really great winners, probably Saga from Brian K. Vaughan was probably the biggest winner. But what I really found interesting is even on the nominee list, the big two were barely nominated, but a lot of people who worked for them were nominated for independent stuff. These are people that just left and decided to do their own thing. So good for them, you know. Congratulations to all the winners.
Yes. I agree. And I want to throw out an honorable mention to Collector's Corner, which is located here in Maryland, for being one of the last seven finalists for this year's Will Eisner Spirit Retailing Award, which you can only win once ever in the whole thing. And I got a chance to talk to the owner about it, who's been nominated three times for the award. And it was a close race. Collector's Corner is the first Maryland store ever to make it to the finals. And unfortunately, Challengers of Chicago won, but I heard through the grapevine that they just barely edged our guys out by a slim margin. I just want to say good job, guys. There's always next year.
Yeah, didn't they also beat out Midtown Comics?
Yeah, Midtown has even congratulated them, and that's a big deal because everybody knows who Midtown Comics is. But you check out Collector's Corner's website. They started doing their own collector's cons and everything, so these are good guys to get to know, and they have a lot of awesome stuff. I've been to their store. I go to the store at least once a month, and I live an hour away from them, but I can tell you, out of all the stores here in Maryland, they're one of the best.
To be nominated is a big honor, too, so congratulations, guys, even to be nominated.
A lot of good winners, so, you know, if you're not familiar with a lot of the independent stuff, check out the Eisner Award winners and check out some of these works. These are very strong work here, and really good reads. So, you know, like I said, we have a lot of stories coming out of Comic-Con. It is the plethora of information. So, why don't we just start right in it and talk about one of the big elephants in the room, toys.
Hooray!
Yeah. I mean, from...
It was...
Go ahead, Glenn.
It was a busy... Yeah, it was busy. Actually, I'm still here in San Diego, so if I cut out in and out of it, it's because the whole hotel's jammed. Everybody's trying to post things. So, but I am wrapping up a long 4 days. There were a lot of toys. There's a lot of movies and TV. I think we're gonna get to in this hour. So, but yeah, toys. Jay, what were you saying about toys?
I mean, the biggest draw was to most people was Mattel. They wanted to see what Mattel was going to offer, what Mattel was going to do with the subscription, because they teased and teased and teased. And with, you know, Mike Hopkins, you know, bullshitometer speech, they teased about what we were going to get for the sub. Well, they rounded off 2013, in my opinion, with a bang, you know, saying next month we're going to get Fire. After that, we're going to get Huntress, followed by Ocean Master, Ra's al Ghul, and Bat-Zaro figure.
Sorry, Jay, but really, Bat-Zaro, do you really think that belongs in the sub?
Yeah, once again, it's word coming down from high, Mattel dropping the fucking ball again, and we get a crap figure in this line. And
But see, someone like me, I actually want this figure.
Well, no, it's not figure. A crap figure. Right? No, I don't think it's a crap figure. I just think that there was such a big emphasis put on at the beginning of a subscription line like this, saying that they're not going to do the repainted variants or the kind of toys that could be made somewhere else. And to put this figure in a subscription line where you're forced to buy it is going against what they were saying, because all of us wanted the superpowers, or at least all of us who grew up in the 80s wanted the superpowers Penguin. After all the superpowers inspired figures they've done over the years, we wanted that Penguin. And they said he can't go in the sub because he's just a repaint with a new deck, with a deck, new deco and a new head. Well, isn't the Bat Zaro just a figure with a new head?
Essentially.
What do you guys think?
I mean, there's a couple things missing from the figure that is my gripe. My biggest gripe is he's missing his chains. I mean, in the comics, he had chains all around his cape, and instead of using a line, he used chains to swing around his version of Gotham. But, you know, the thing about it is, I actually like this figure. I have a place for it on my shelf to replace my DC Direct version. I'm the only one defending it, and people are laughing at me on Facebook saying, all your bad Zaros belong to JQ. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I actually welcome this figure.
Oh, so to a lot of old time, you know, we were promised that they would dwell deep in the, you know, DC archives. Some of us are still waiting on the original Aqualad as a figure. You know, where's my Garth figure? You know, it's when am I going to see that? I just personally feel this is why I pick and choose on the month and I don't buy into subscriptions. It's I do not like the offerings
for the most part, and
I'm not telling anybody else to, you know, I speak with my dollar. I would rather, you know, there are tons of other characters that I feel should be made before Bat-Zaro. That's just the way I feel.
Well, and here's what I was talking to Sanchez about, and Sanchez and I were talking about this in depth about the next year is, you know, what are they going to show us to make us want to buy into it? And, you know, we went back and forth a lot about this Young Justice Superboy, and I said to him, I guarantee you it's going to be in the sub, and everyone's going on telling me, no, it won't be in the sub, and sure enough, when they announced the first couple figures for the sub, you have Aquaman 90s version with the hook hand, Hunter in his black shirt and blue jeans, and then you have Ice, and then they say, well, you know, here's your exclusive. If you get the tier one of the BS meter, you're going to get Doomsday in his prison outfit when he escaped crash landed. And here's the thing, I laugh about it. When you look at tier two, they say it's Doomsday Unleashed, and I'm going to myself, there's a whole lot of tooling looking like they had to do for that tier one figure, whereas the tier two figure, you know, didn't like there was much tooling involved there. So I question the tooling aspect of all these figures. I mean, but then you look at, you know, Ra's al Ghul is a slightly modified Sandman with a new head and a new cape, and you look at Bat-Zaro, they cut corners there so they can make Ocean Master with some tooling. So I could see where the corners are cut. But again, Brian's right. We speak with our dollar, and you know we're forced to buy some of these little figures. But you know, to buy into the sub for 2014 and not see what's going on here, I don't know. Like
it's. But once again, you know, what you're saying about the tooling is fueling my freaking rage, because all I can think about is that interview that writer Scott Beatty had with that's all around the net that he had with. Scott, and you know, Scott, every time Beatty would throw out a character, Scott's answer is too much tooling. And then how much tooling do you think is in a figure of freaking, you know, of Doomsday?
I mean the prison outfit was a lot, all those wires and pipes,
yeah,
and
that is all tooling. And then his excuse on everything else is too much tooling on a 6-inch figure? I'm like, are you insane?
But I have hope. I mean, look at it. We haven't seen – at New York Comic Con, they'll show us the first 6, and I have a feeling we're going to be impressed. I mean, I think we're going to get a sub. I think Doomsday is going to give them enough thrush to get over to at least the first tier. I don't think we're going to see a second tier, but yeah,
which is going to totally anger a lot of people.
Here's the thing, that Doomsday and the containment suit, they could, you know, I could see them using pieces from Calibak or using it to make a new Calibak, and giving fans the superpowers version that they wanted. And it's their way of trying to entice people to buy the sub, because the figures themselves are pretty simplistic. There's not a lot of accessories. So you're looking at a figure that you're paying a premium for, and you're not getting much with it. And I think they're kind of burning themselves out. I'm not sure how much longer it's going to last. But I think they had other good things to talk about too. I think the Masters of the Universe line, they had some good heavy hitters like Modulok and Too Bad shown. I'm not crazy about them saying, you know, I'm not crazy about the way they do it. I understand production schedules slip sometimes, but if people are paying for subscriptions, they should know what they're paying for. So their little ploy of hiding the bonus figure for this year, I really think it was just kind of tacky. I think they should have just came out and shown it. But, I mean, they had some good stuff in the Masters line. The tool looks really good. They're finally getting to that Sky Sled, so it looks really nice.
They have $27 a figure.
I think you're getting more for your money actually with the Masters figures, whereas with the DC figures, you're getting a figure like, all right, Ra's al Ghul is somebody that I really would love to have in my collection, but that's the same suit body they've used for I don't know how many years now. So it doesn't feel like it's worth the money, but even though the Masters figures are, again, heavily reused figures, you do get accessories. Sometimes you get extra heads. Sometimes you get this or that. I think you get a better value with the Masters figures, but they're pulling the whole no day of sale for a lot of them. So I just wonder how much longer, you know, people are gonna be buying into it without buying the sub.
Well, one advantage, I mean, with the Masters figures opposed to the DC figures, it's Masters is something they own. Well, DC is a license, so their hands are a little tied sometimes, and, you know, with prices and things like that, and ability to show stuff off. But, you know, that's why, you know, it is a better value at Masters, but that's, you know, the licensing is part of the reason why.
Hey, Maddie. No.
Yeah, I've been saying that a lot this year. You know, I don't have a sub for this year, and I never got Clamp Champ, and I saw him at the con, and he was $60, and I found him in the booth, and I had the money. It wasn't that I didn't have the money, but I just couldn't rationalize doing it. But, you know, Mattel wasn't the only toy company they're showing off. Mezco had some cool things with Axe Cop. They had some cool Batman 66 stuff. NECA also showed off some great Batman 66 stuff and some fun Alien and Predator toys. But, I mean, the other big company, of course, is Hasbro. Not a lot to talk about with G.I. Joe because of the movie this year. I got to talk to Daryl DePriest, who's kind of working on the line and one of the lead designers on it. So he's kind of focused on this year. They didn't give a lot of spoilers for next year, but we are coming up on a big G.I. Joe anniversary, so next year we'll probably see some fun things, but we probably won't see much before Toy Fair as far as what the 2014 plans are. Star Wars was exciting too, though. They had some 6-inch. They had Wave 2 of the 6-inch, and those looked amazing. What'd you guys think?
Slave Leia. Woo-hoo!
Oh, Lord. Keep it in your pants, Hopkins.
Personally, I never found the attraction with her. I never got that.
Yeah, but I mean, it goes on with it. It keeps with, you know, the line. It's Jedi this year. You know, it's big for Jedi.
No, I'm not. So. I just meant the costume. I just don't get, you know, fanboys' reaction. I just don't think she was ever that hot in period. I mean,
how dare you?
From a collector standpoint, I get, you know why it's great for the line, but, you know, just as a personal thing, never did anything for me. What can I tell you?
Must be an age thing then.
bastard.
Oh,
man. The Greedo looked really good. I got a chance to talk to Entertainment Earth, and they showed me the promo, the production sample, their preview of the figure. And then I got to see the actual figure in the Hasbro book. It looked really good up close. Solo looks great. Obi-Wan looks great. I seem to remember at some point them saying that Darth Maul was kind of like a one-off where they weren't going to do much from the episode 1, 2, and 3. So I was kind of surprised to see Obi-Wan there from...
there it goes. Never mind. So...
Clearly you just broke up.
Sorry, guys. They previewed at the panel that they're going to be getting to a trooper on a scout bike, a speeder bike. So it's kind of exciting to think that they're going to go large scale with some vehicles. So if they ever made a huge Millennium Falcon, I would be the first one in line to get it, I'll tell you that.
did you actually see the Boba Fett with the Han Solo? Were you able to catch a glimpse of that?
Catch a glimpse of it? I just packed two of them, actually, away in my duffel bag to go home with.
Nice.
So I made sure. I know some sites, I won't name names, played around a little too much at the con, dressed up as predators and things like that, and didn't exactly put priority in getting toys. So I know they walked home empty-handed. But Hasbro had breakfast. So we got to sit down with some designers for Transformers, and we had the opportunity to get in line and get our exclusives from them. So I picked up Deadpool, I picked up Thunderbolts. They actually sent us a Thunderbolt and a Shockwave for review. Thank you guys from Hunter for that. And so I picked up Thunderbolts for myself. I picked up the Deadpool set, and I got the Boba Fett. And bringing home some other things from some friends. So they did a good job with their exclusives. I'm pretty impressed with them this year.
Even with the Thunderbolt Moonstar with the tramp stamp?
Yeah, well, I mean, the only problem I had was that box was impossible to pack. So the figures are coming home loose with me. I was not able to save the box. No matter what I did, I couldn't figure out how to get it home. But they had some really fun, I guess... I look at that as a good thing. A lot of collectors aren't. What they're doing with Marvel Legends and Marvel Universe, they're switching Marvel Universe to the Avengers umbrella, and those figures are going to be under that big umbrella. And with Marvel Legends, it is going to fall under the Marvel movies. So you're going to see a Cap Legends, and they showed Cap in his movie outfit, Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow. They showed the Winter Soldier. They had an Ultimate Cap, I believe, and then they had the comic Baron Zemo. So those movie waves are going to be very similar to what we saw with Iron Man 3, where you'll have a bunch of figures mixed comic and movie. I think it's a good thing because stores will more likely pick up a movie line, whereas a collector's line like Marvel Legends might not get the kind of attention it deserves. What'd you guys think of what they had?
I got to agree with that last statement there, Khalil, because I have noticed, you know, I'm still not seeing a lot of Marvel Legends. I have seen the 6-inch Iron Man figures, so I got to agree with you on that one. I think it is, from a sales standpoint, a more enticing thing for the store, so I got to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that working out well. I mean, you know, we got to have a bunch of variants that were never released that were advised that they're going to try and squeeze them into these movie lines. I mean, I've seen some of the figures that have been released for Captain America. I've seen the ones that are going to be released in the future, like the Batroc, the Leaper, Blizzard, Radioactive Man, which I'm stoked about, as well as Tiger Shark being intertwined with these movies as well. That's going to be, I believe those guys, though, are going to be the last wave with the Build-A-Figure Jubilee, which is a little weak in my opinion, but hey, you know, it's better to have her than nothing because, you know, everyone's been asking about her as well as one of the X-Men that haven't been made, as well as the Jean Grey, which is coming out now.
Yeah, and they're doing a good job with that, and they're aware that what happened was retailers bought up front, and then when Wave 2 came out, or the variant, you know, the switch outs, the running change figures, they weren't picking them up as much, so you had a lot of collectors that were frustrated because they couldn't get it, best example of that is those Wolverine Legends, where there was going to be a Rogue and a variant Cyclops, and those two have been dropped, and so it's just going to be the Sabretooth White Queen and Wolverine, or Sabretooth White Queen Wolverine and Cyclops. Regular Cyclops, to build a figure for the Puck figure. Because instead of doing retailers, it's going to be
a previous exclusive.
Yeah, previous exclusive. Yeah, to comic shops. Along with, I think they announced in the panel that the Tony Stark six-pack was going to be on Amazon, I believe. So that might have found a home, too.
Khalil,
so they had a lot of good things.
Did they announce the we've been hearing rumors about in the past that they've been released overseas, like the Red Deadpool and the Blade figures. Did you hear anything about those?
The only thing is I asked them about the variant figures that we've seen and never really got released. They're going to try to get them out in kind of like an ultimate case pack out, I believe. But there's no definitive plans yet. They're trying to figure out how to get them out to collectors. But there's no, they didn't have a real concrete answer for it. They're just looking for avenues to get them out.
Now, is that for the previous releases? Well, because, I mean, for this release that's coming out, people are really wanting to get the Wrecking Crew finished. With Wrecker and Bulldozer coming out, is that going to be the same thing for them as well, or is that just are those going to be coming out?
The problem was, and I'll admit, the problem for me at least finding out the info was I had a meeting, an interview with Dwight Stahl from the Hasbro Marvel team. The problem was my interview with him that was set up about 2 hours or 3 hours before the panel. So a lot of the questions I got and the answers I got were very vague, because they hadn't had their panel yet, and I couldn't follow up with him because I was in other interviews for the rest of the time. So it's a problem they're aware of. They're trying to figure it out, but they're not really announcing anything yet. So, but there was just so much. There was just so much other things that I got to see too. Movies were a big thing this year. We saw a lot of different movies, a lot of big announcements. What were you guys most excited at seeing coming out of the show?
Well,
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, well, one thing I like was seeing, what's his name? Who plays Loki? Tom?
Hiddleston.
Yeah, I saw him coming out in character. That was an awesome thing to see. And actually, I mean, it would have been awesome to be there, but to see it on YouTube was awesome to go ahead and show just him in character, you know, relating to the crowd. But the one thing I was looking forward to was a little bit more of a Spider-Man movie. I mean, we saw little, you know, bits and pieces, but not too much was given out. But seeing Andrew Garfield coming out as Spider-Man was a pretty funny twist on that with his answers. But that's what I was looking most forward to. But I'll let the DC guys talk about what they are excited about, because that's also the big thing that I was.
I'll hop on your point, Sanchez, because Andrew Garfield did come out as Spider-Man. It was really funny. Jamie Foxx, I got a chance to talk to Jamie Foxx, and in the press room with him, you always seem that you're always worried that they're going to take it as a joke, or they're really going to take it, you know, a little bit lighter. I really was surprised by the reverence and the seriousness that Jamie Foxx had for Electro. He spoke about him like he was an old friend that had troubled and that he was trying to care for. And it really came across as a really professional actor, really doing a good job with the role, even though it is very comic booky and jokey, really taking a good serious look at it and doing the best he can, the best he can with it, which I think is going to be amazing to see on screen. And gave some tidbits about his character and relationship with Spider-Man that came up, that he's supposedly going to be friendly with Spider-Man and think that he's his sidekick at times. And when Spider-Man kind of spurns his love, for lack of a better term, Electro goes a little nutty. So I think it's an interesting twist on the character too. Yeah, it's different. It's not what I expected. So hearing it come from Mark Webb and Jamie Foxx, I think it was pretty interesting to hear them say that.
Did you sit down with Andrew Garfield too?
I got to meet Andrew Garfield. It was really nice. He's a really nice guy. There was a kid there dressed as Spider-Man. Andrew gave him some time too, so it was really cool. Talked to Mark Webb a little bit.
Did you ask them if he's going to keep the goddamn mask on?
No, I did not ask that because, unlike you, I do not have a problem with the mask being off. Because my feeling, and this is just going to jump into my feeling on that, he's supposed to be this teenage kid that nobody knows who the hell he is. So who cares if the mask is off? Nobody really knows who he is. Supposed to be it's the ultimate Spider-Man kind of thing. So, but getting back to what Webb said, I asked him, I said, you know, you got the writer, you've got Electro, you got Gwen Stacy, you got Harry Osborn, you got Norman Osborn, you got the Lizard in the background, you got all these characters. It seems like you're overcrowding and you've already announced the sequels. So is this just going to feel like a stepping stone in between, or are you going to be able to contain this? And he says the whole story is a very operatic feel to it, but they are looking to make the best movie possible. So this story will be contained in the sense that it has a beginning, middle, end, and it will stand on its own while giving a lot. They said they're going to do a lot more little Easter eggs and dropping a lot more hints in this film. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with it next summer.
So am I.
Yeah, it should be pretty exciting. One of the other things that came up, too, was they have a it was on and off. It was not out all the time. You had to catch it at the right time. But they had an actual Sentinel head sitting outside the Hard Rock with Pete Trask Industries workers handing out posters in Trask gear, hats, T-shirts, posters. So it was kind of fun to see a Sentinel head up close and personal. We have a couple pictures from the Hard Rock on our site in Caster's Corner too.
Now, Khalil, it looked like it wasn't to scale. Was it like a bust, a 1/6 scale bust, or was it like a 1/1 bust, like life size?
I'm not sure. It was hard to tell because, I mean, I was there with it. I saw it. I want to say I saw it Thursday morning. So this whole week's been a blur. But it was fairly large. I'm not sure. It's definitely not the monstrous 20-foot tall size of skyscraper Sentinel. I'd say it was more on par with like a 10 or 20 foot, you know, maybe 20 foot, maybe 15, 20 foot. So substantially larger than a human. It was pretty big. It was very, very big. I mean,
because the pictures didn't look that big. That's why we were concerned at the shop. We were going, I don't know about this.
I want to say, I'd say between 3 or 4 feet tall.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Because there were a couple of people standing next to it, and it probably started at their waist and ended above their heads or around their heads. So a good 3 feet at least, if not 4 feet tall.
Okay, I'm a little more at ease now.
Yeah, it was a pretty good set. It wasn't underwhelming. It was not a bus like you'd see at Sideshow Collectibles. That's a one-to-one bus that is the size of you. It was definitely the size of a torso of an adult male, at least, if not larger. So it was a good set. It was definitely. And they took it down every night. So it was not out on display all the time. So you had to catch it when they had it out. What else are you exciting that came out of Comic-Con?
Well, you know, they had the whole thing in regards to, you know, Hugh Jackman came out talking about the Wolverine. He's really pushing this movie as the best Wolverine movie that you want to see. So, I mean, like I said, I keep seeing the previews and I'm going to go see it. But, I mean, he's really excited about this movie. And looking at his press conference when they had his little part in there, I don't know. It might be better than I think it's going to be.
I think it has potential. I think it just depends on what they do with the Silver Samurai suit they did have there. It was not on the show floor. It was actually in one of the parking lots that they had at like a fair at. That thing was huge. It was massive. I did not get there in time to get a picture of it, but I saw it and it was incredibly massive. It was really cool to see. But they did some other cool things. I ran into Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy as they were entering, waiting to go on with them. So they did show some X-Men Days of Future Past footage, I believe. So I was pretty excited about that, too.
Now, one thing I read and I actually saw on the release of one of the sites was that in Days of Future Past that it looks to be that Wolverine's going to be the catalyst instead of Kitty Pryde. which is the weird, which is kind of weird, but I can kind of see seeing that Wolverine's been like the bulk of the face of that franchise. But you know, I don't know what you guys think, but I mean, I'm not upset or that thrilled, but you know, I think it's because of the simple fact that Wolverine's been, you know, the face of the movies for this for Marvel, that's the way they're using that, where they're pushing that.
Yeah, I think it's smart for them. Wolverine's like their flagship character. I mean, he is in every comic book, right, Brian?
Just about.
I think except Justice League.
So, I mean, why wouldn't he? Oh, I think they'll get him in Justice League at some point. but I, you know, of course, they're going to use Hugh Jackman as much as they can. He's the star of the franchise, so pushing him along. But it's nice to see everybody else there too.
I mean, and the big surprise was, I mean, this was actually not, I mean, it was spoiled before the panel started. I think an LA news site leaked that they were going to announce Batman, Superman, the movie. And what I had said was, okay, well then people are at the panel, you know, they're live casting and they're saying, all right, well, no mention. All of a sudden they go, oh, wait, here comes Mark Webb. Here comes Zack Snyder. And Zack Snyder comes out and starts talking, and they bring out I can't think of the actor's name, but
Henry Lennox.
Yeah, Henry Lennox. He comes out and starts reading a dialogue from The Dark Knight, and people start going bananas. And they,
well, no, not The Dark Knight. Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, Returns.
Not from the movie.
Well, the thing is, they read that, and the crowd's going bananas. They show the logo. The crowd goes bananas even more. So now you got speculate. I mean, and we're not sure where we're going with this, but we know that this is going to happen. So they're saying Batman's going to be in the Man of Steel sequel, which spun a bunch of debate online about that. But, you know, looking at the logo, you know, they're looking at more of a Frank Miller-esque logo, if that's even the official logo.
Well, that was their official announcement, that's going to be the sequel. And whether or not we can really call it a sequel or rather the next step in the Justice League, which is actually quite a smart move, I think, in my opinion, because what it does is it keeps you from doing a straight sequel with Superman and using it as a stepping stone and overloading things like I think they did with Iron Man 2 and going straight to the next hero. And the Superman universe is ripe thanks to the way that things happen and shook out in Man of Steel for Batman to be an antagonist in the movie, I think. What do you guys think?
I always said, I mean, you know, why are we wasting time on individual movies? We know a movie with the Trinity, or at least Batman and Superman. I've told Hopkins and Brian this forever, that a movie with at least two of them will help catapult this. And being that they're not going to use Nolan's universe, but a Batman origin is still fresh in our minds. So and the biggest gripe about The Amazing Spider-Man was that The Amazing Spider-Man, you know, we all knew that Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire series very fresh in our minds, and the Thor origin was too soon. And I think DC is not going to follow in that suit. They're going to let this Batman kind of play out and kind of see what happens. So that the Nolan verse is still fresh in our minds.
Right, but I think the reason that it works really well, Jay, is because of what Superman and Zod and the Kryptonians did to Metropolis. If you think about it, it's a perfect situation to bring Bruce Wayne in. It couldn't be more perfectly set up, and you can see all the seeds that they set. I mean, you set up, I was talking with one of the other reporters this week, and we were talking about it and said that, look, Metropolis is destroyed. Who's going to be the savior? It's going to be Lex Luthor. So you've got Luthor, you know, Luthor Corps rebuilding Metropolis, and Batman, Bruce Wayne, seeing that, and he starts to help rebuild Metropolis as well. But you have him keeping an eye on this new alien that came in because he crashed one of the Wayne Tech satellites.
Yeah.
So it's this perfect storm that they created to bring Batman into the sequel. Although I don't think that just throwing everybody into Superman sequels is the right way to go. I still think the Marvel model is one of the best ones that they've ever, you know, that any studio has ever done before.
But one of the advantages of the Marvel model was to shoot multiple films at the same time. We're talking Warner here. It's, you know, what they're going to do is move on to do one, see how it does. Do the next, see how it does. Do the next, see how it does. And that's not a model. It's not going to work that way. These actors are going to end up getting too old.
Yeah. So let's hope that they can get their act together and give us what we really want to see.
Well, they also teased The Flash for 2016. They said Justice League is slated for 2017. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's they're setting the seeds in place. But like Brian said, if they don't start filming multiple films, you know, Cavill's not going to be a spring chicken for too long.
We're going to be old before they come out.
You are old.
But then the Marvel animated, I'm sorry, the DC animated universe made some announcements too, with the Son of Batman animated series, animated movie, and the Justice League War animated movie, and even that has some stipulation to it as well.
Well, the War is based on the New 52. It's the formation of the Justice League. What's really interesting about it is the one character whose book is outselling every other member of the Justice League right now, Aquaman, is once again left out, proving that they just don't know how to write for Aquaman. They really don't.
I haven't seen the Flashpoint Paradox. I know Jay has heard some things about it, and, you know, they're positive. So they had Aquaman in there, and he was this brooding kind of, you know, different kind of Aquaman. But I wonder if how far along they were when this movie was planned, because as Brian knows from being in rooms with Bruce Timm, he's not a big fan of Aquaman.
No.
Or you know, using Aquaman. So it's really not surprising to see him left out of a movie, especially if this was one of Tim's last kind of, you know, on his plate that he had planned out or started working on.
But the thing is, this like Aquaman in this formation is such an integral part of the story. Yeah. I understand they make adaptions and things like that, but it's just like, you know, to see Aquaman constantly getting the screw all the time is just getting old real fast.
Right, and I'd like to see who else they're going to put in the movie, because let's see how they're, you know, what they're going to do to replace him and who they're going to put in his place, because
they aren't going to be putting anybody. It's going to be, instead of seven, it's going to be six.
Well, didn't Geoff Johns say something about there's an Aquaman movie in the works, or they're talking about? I mean, there was an article I read too during one of John's interviews saying he's trying to push an Aquaman movie.
I don't see, at least for the animated people we've talked to, Brian and I, you know, Aquaman's definitely not on their radar to do a movie for him. So,
or Sonar.
Geoff Johns, you know, dream? Yes. but I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they did with Flashpoint and how it actually came out in the end. And I heard from everybody at the show that we did get the emotional ending. For anybody that's read the books, knows is a very, very emotional ending to the storyline, and they were able to make sure that was part of it.
It's 2 years old. You can spoil it. If they haven't read it by now, they're adults.
It automatically gets a 10. It gets a 10 automatically because of that part.
That's right. It?
So, but I will leave it. I will leave it at that. We're not going to throw out too many spoilers. But I heard it was good. They screened the movie. Unfortunately, I couldn't make the screening. So when the screeners come out, when the movie actually comes out, I'll take a look at it and probably have a review for it. So, but I've heard good things.
Which is next week. It seems.
Talked with some of the cast at San Diego. They were excited about it. Okay, so next week, talk to some of the actors from the movie. They were excited about it. They were very impressed with it and happy with the work. So, and the creative director was pretty excited about some of the things he got to do. So it was pretty good. What else, guys? What else did we? What else came out of Comic Con this week? We had a lot of TV stuff, didn't we?
Yeah, TV.
I think that there was a pre-screening for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I heard nothing but good things about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to do with it.
Yes, well, I heard one of the surprises was that Maria Hill made a cameo in the pilot, so that shows some promise that they may have the ability to bring some good star power in there.
They will, actually. They announced that.
Don't forget Colby Summers' show, How I Met Your Mother. This is their final year. So if all goes, you know, if S.H.I.E.L.D. does well and goes to a second season, I could see her moving there permanently.
But I think they also announced that she will be in multiple episodes this season.
They did.
So it's not just a pilot, one-off kind of thing. Also thought it was interesting, did you guys hear that? One of the characters that got powers in the show... is attached to the Extremis armor. So elements from Iron Man 3 are playing into the show. So I think that's interesting too. So it really is a show that's spun out of the movies and will enrich the movies, I think, in the long run. So I'm kind of excited to see what else they have to do with it.
Yeah, and Jay August's character has been was revealed finally. Not Rage, not Luke Cage. Actually, his name is the same sidekick is the sidekick of Slapstick.
Hmm.
Yeah, a very obscure character who has
say what?
He's like, I guess the Looney Tunes in the real universe, for lack of a letter. I don't even know how to describe Slapstick. It's just he's just so.
Save Luke Cage, and Iron Fist for their either own TV show for Heroes for Hire. If they ever were to do that, it would be fun. Or save it for the movies. Let's not overload this TV.
No, I'm glad they're not. It's just like I said, this is a commentary about Slapstick. I don't even know how to explain him. I mean, one of my favorite shows got their sizzle reel looked very sweet. Arrow. I cannot wait for season 2 about that one. I know there's a lot of people complaining that the character of Lauren is not going to be, that somebody else is going to be Black Canary. Seeing the way the TV show's been going and drifting a little bit away from the comic universe, I really don't have a problem with that. So
those kind of changes are okay. As long as they make sense and they can make them work. I mean, they change a lot of things in Smallville. And I think of Arrow as an extension of that in a lot of ways. So I don't see a problem with that. But there were other people in the trailer, weren't there too, Brian? They showed off?
I remember seeing Black Canary at the end, and she just friggin' blew my mind. We still don't know what's going on with Roy Harper yet.
And it looks like he's trying to follow the footsteps of...
Right. Yeah, you're right. I think he's trying to step up. And I heard they cast Bronze Tiger.
Yes. Michael Jai White.
And they're going to be...
Brother Blood. Yeah, Brother Blood's going to be in it. Or Sebastian Blood, but I'm assuming he'll probably be a cult. Hoping he'll be a cult.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like a supposed to be a cult kind of thing, and you know, they're bringing in some Titan stuff with that. And, I mean, the Bronze Tiger also brings in, I heard that they announced or rumored or something. Everything kind of is rumored or heard second hand sometimes with this show. We're going to see the Suicide Squad. So I think that's going to be interesting. I think Arrow's going to start picking up. I got to catch up on it. Yeah, some behind.
He's ditching the name as the Vigilante, and he's going to. I mean, to what we think he's going to be, he's going to go by the name Arrow. But they didn't say it, you know, in the preview. It's just kind of one of those dramatic pauses, looking at an arrow tip. So we're going to assume he's going to be called the Arrow this season.
Or I took it as the Green Arrow because he's sitting there staring at a green arrow tip. So I wonder if he'll finally take that name.
It would be funny because in season 1.
So it was kind of
John, John Barrowman's character suggested a new name for the vigilante. He goes, I want to call him the Green Arrow, and Ollie looks right at him and goes, lame. And it was kind of funny because it just the real world, the pseudo real world setting this show has. I mean, the name of calling somebody the Green Arrow is kind of silly. But I'm seriously enjoying the show from day one. I mean, there's all kinds of characters that I know. One of the producers, Mark Guggenheim, wants to bring in, especially my favorite, The Question, which I keep hoping.
Montoya, right?
Shut up.
No, when we talked to Guggenheim, he did say we were going to have some really good surprises. So I'm looking forward to that. I've been surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had some other good things, too. The Walking Dead had some – I think the trailer they released for The Walking Dead was very, very dramatic. I'm really excited. One of the funny things was they had at the show in the middle of the floor, in the middle of the con floor, they set up a mock prison, and they had a turret with a life-size mannequin statue, wax statue or something, of Rick standing up there with the shotgun. And inside that mock jail, it was a good size. It was the size of a large con booth. They had walkers, people dressed up as walkers, actors, that were trying to get out of the gate. And as you're watching the trailer they had playing, which really just gave me goosebumps and the chills at some of the things that they showed in the trailer. I looked over to my right, and one of the walkers had escaped from the fence and was jumping out at people. I've got a picture I was taking of Rick, and he photobombed my picture of the fence. I got to put it up this weekend on our site. I'll probably tweet it out later this weekend or this week. But it was. He really did photo. He scared the crap out of me. So they do some really fun stuff on the floor with those things. But what did you guys think? Did you guys get to see the Walking Dead trailer?
Oh, let me tell you. Well, I watched the trailer, and the opening scene was they had a little crew go out, I guess, looking for supplies, and you see Daryl knocking on the window, and he's wait for it. Then it's like right there at the front. And it was like it looks cool. I mean it. The whole, you're right, the dramatic scenes about how they reinforced the prison after the governor's attack and what they missed. I mean, it looks like it's going to just continue on blowing everyone's mind. Especially, I mean, there's a lot of new players involved too. So I'm wondering if, if they absorb some Woodbury people in there, because there's a lot of new faces on the previews too.
Well, yeah, they did absorb Woodbury in the finale, but I think one of the ones that really just made me put chills on my spine was they're fighting a bunch of walkers. They're stuck in a car and Tyrese won't get out. And then what he does, he just starts laying out walkers left and right. But it looks like he's about to get overrun with them too. So it's like, oh my God, Whitney, 3 years, they finally brought Tyrese in. He's a badass. He's got a good moral compass. He's going to be Rick's right hand. And then the first trailer they release, it looks like he's about to get poured and eaten right there in the middle of the, like.
Oh no!
It's killer. Yeah, it definitely was interesting to see, and it's very, very exciting. It definitely got me pumped up for October. I cannot wait.
I hate when people say October though.
What I always love about San Diego is just the dedication of the fans, and this kind of goes along with the television topic. Is there was an impromptu gathering of Young Justice fans, the showrunners, the cast, and fans all met off-site to show their love for this show was canceled way before its time.
All the Warner Brothers shows lately have been canceled way before their time, but sorry to
that. Yeah, I mean, Newsarama did an entire thing on it, and boy, Newsarama living up to their lovely fluff pieces. Couldn't ask the tough question to the showrunners. Why was it canceled?
I'm not too sure that they have the answers that the up above, because I ran into the same problem when we were talking to, I talked to some of the screenwriters at work for DC this weekend too. And he says, don't ask me why they canceled the Green Lantern cartoon, because I don't know. I'm not too sure they have the answers.
Yeah, but a showrunner would know more than a screenwriter, though.
No, I'm not saying that a showrunner wouldn't, but I'm saying a lot of times it doesn't make a lot of sense, because the Green Lantern cartoon was, I think, one of the best cartoons they've done.
It was getting good. I mean, it started off pretty weak, but it got strong as it progressed.
But all shows do that. I mean, I think you need to build that fan base, and it will grow and it will get stronger as time goes on. Good shows show that. The first seasons usually are really crappy. I mean, I know I'm in the minority here for this, but I love Thundercats, and I love the new retelling of their history and their story in the new Cartoon Network, and that went away after a season two.
Oh, so, I liked it.
I mean, yeah. I hated the original Thundercats, but I love this revamp.
Hey.
Walk How there. Dare you?
Oh, God, it was
a half-hour
commercial like every other 80s cartoon.
Go dig the Migos out of the toy box and play with your dolls. We'll talk Thundercats.
Yeah. Enjoy your minor articulation on your superpowers.
But they had an action feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did mine. I could bend them in 50 million shapes, okay?
And you could dress them like Barbie, too.
Tea party!
So anyway, back to Young Justice.
I understand that, but it would just be nice just to see Newsarama just even ask the freaking question. Even if they can't answer
it. I agree.
I'm so tired because every other thing from Newsarama is either fluff or their lovely top 10 countdowns. But but you know, back to the fans and their loves of these shows. I mean, last year it was Serenity. This year, you know, Young Justice. It was just the dedication. It's just the love is always going to be there, and that always amazes me.
Yeah, I think that was I got to talk with a lot of people this week. I mean, that's the problem with covering the show. You're very limited in what you can do. And this year I focused a lot, or our site, with my part of covering this was I took a lot of floor pictures, and my managing editor, Bill, did a lot of the write-ups and all the news updates. And then throughout this week, I'll be putting up all the interviews. And we got to talk to the cast of Archer. We got to talk to the creators of the Venture Brothers. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Sons of Anarchy, Warehouse 13, Being Human. I mean, we talked to a ton of different shows and all the actors and the showrunners, and every single one of them said we wouldn't be here without the fans. And their TV shows are successful because of the fans, and they're always amazed at how much love they get and how much support they get when they come to a show like this, because you wouldn't expect that from a show like Sons of Anarchy. Even though Charlie Heineman and Ron Perlman were both in Pacific Rim, a huge sci-fi movie, coming here for Sons of Anarchy just seems a little bit out of place, but there are so many fans here that are dressed up as Sons and supporting him, and they just get so much – there's so much passion here from the fans for everything, not just the TV shows, for the comics and the toys and the movies. So it's definitely – one of the biggest events, and even with all the aggravation and the crowds and the lines and the having to pick and choose what you get to see and missing out on things, it's still at the end of the week, it's something that you never forget after you go to it.
So how are the cosplayers?
As always, there were cosplayers who were able to dress up and really be impressive in their costumes, both male and female, and some of the costume work was incredible. And then you've got guys who are 6'2", 300-400 pounds, in a Speedo with what looked like a condom on his head to look like Zane Keefe from the Street Fighter video game. So you get a mix of, you see 30 Slave Leias, you see 100 Wonder Woman, you see a ton of Supermen.
Note to all you boys and girls listening, spandex is a privilege, not a right. Please remember that. It is a privilege, a right.
No, see, you're being way, way too nice. It's not just spandex. Because it's any superhero costume that's skimpy. Because there are a lot of spandex costumes that weren't spandex that should not have been dressed that way. but as always, there were some amazing costumes. People do an amazing job. There was one crew of guys who walked the entire convention every day. They were dressed up as the original invaders. So you had somebody dressed up as the Human Torch, Namor, and Captain America. And they were in those costumes. They were beautiful. They looked like they could have come out of a movie. So those were fun to look at, too.
The Human Torch one, was he the flaming version or just the unflaming version?
He was kind of in a unitard, and his head was not on fire.
Okay.
But he had red fire contacts in.
Nice.
That was a pretty impressive costume.
That's nice.
Yeah. So they had some really cool things there. A lot of people out on the floor, walking around, bumping into people here and there. I mean, you really could just. I was walking from one place to another because they've expanded. So the Hilton next door to the convention center hosts a lot of the entertainment things. And as I'm walking from the Hilton back to the con floor last night, I walked literally through the cast of Grimm. So, and then I turn around and James McAvoy is behind me signing autographs. You're constantly running into people and bumping into people, and it's just such a – even with all the aggravation, it's a very, very fun environment to be in. I will say that. So, I certainly can't wait till next year.
How was the smell?
I lucked out. I spent most of my time this year at the Hilton in the interview rooms. But the couple of times that I was on the con floor – some people had odors, so I'm gonna say it's a problem, and I don't think it's ever gonna be fixed. But there's just nothing you can do about it. But it was immensely packed. I did not see as many teenage cosplayers running around offering free hugs this year, so I was actually pretty happy about that. I didn't have to step over them, It was a lot of fun. It was packed though. It was extremely packed. Security was actually a lot more organized, I think, in my opinion, than they have been in years past. Press got in, the normal doors, didn't have to wait. Lines weren't as disorganized as they had been. They had a much better process for things. I think they're realizing booths that are going to be really busy and able to facilitate that by selling tickets in separate sections, so you have to go get your ticket to get in line. So they did a really good job with that. They sold out of Boba Fett, but that line was long. The Lego line was long. They released their first Back to the Future toy. So that was incredible. I was able to get my hands on that one. So lines are part of it. Pick and choose what you're gonna see. So, but it was a busy time. It was a lot of fun. And we have a lot more coverage to put up this week, too.
It's amazing.
So what else? Anything else to get you guys really excited?
I thought, in general, I mean, seeing for a Comic Con, I thought most of the comic news coming out of it was kind of light.
Yeah.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of talk.
No, it was just like the usual... There was some fluff. I mean, the only big news that really captured my attention is Marvel bringing Nightcrawler back after, I'm a big fan of that character. But other than that, it was just like nothing really was like boom. It was just like it was like really no huge stories, especially from the big two this year.
Yeah, they didn't. I think someone asked at one of the panels about the Villains Month, and They just said it's coming out soon. Read it when it comes out. Like that was like the answer. Like very short-winded.
I think all the focus lately is on the movies. I mean, I think that's where everybody's going. I think that's the avenue that they're getting the most profit out of, to be honest with you, because it's a much larger audience. So I think that's where the focus, and I think that's where the energy to promote is going, to be honest with you.
Which makes sense. I mean, you know, yeah. And plus, you know, the movies opens it up for a much wider audience, much to a lot of the fans' chagrin, because they don't like a lot of the changes, but...
Oh, by now they have to get over it by now. I mean,
yeah, you have to put this thing that was for specialized to a mass of it, to appeal to a mass audience, and unfortunately that does mean changes.
Well, I think the other thing too is that we reach kind of like the tipping point where it used to be the comics sell the movie tickets, and you know all the comic fans are going to go to the comic movies. And I think now it's the opposite. I think it's the movies are selling the comics. So all the emphasis on the movies driving the comics rather than the other way around. So I think that's why we saw in the Eisner Awards that you're seeing these smaller independent presses putting out better work or getting more accolades for it because they're doing stuff that's more inventive. They're not playing it safe and playing to these wider audiences.
I could totally see that.
So I think that's the trend that we're going. I think we're going to see a resurgence of the independent and a lot more creator-driven things. And
well, it's not know. The it's you know we're seeing a lot more creative different things because it's just a lot of the people who are on the books. I mean, just one you know before Comic-Con, the guy who. Who was writing Supergirl just walked off the book.
Yeah, so you know, I think that's who we are.
Yeah, people just you know. Yeah, but it does seem like just another amazing Comic-Con.
Yeah, it was, and now, you know my whole head now is going. Okay, I gotta get ready for New York Comic-Con. So it never ends. It really doesn't, because then I'll be saying, all right, I gotta get ready for Toy Fair. So it really just, it never ends. It's just one thing after another. But it was amazing. It was exhausting. And I plan on spending the next 48 hours sleeping. So
I plan on being there in 2 years.
All right. Well, hey, come with me. You can hang out with me. I'll be right here. We can split it all up.
There we go.
Oh, well, then I think I might go ahead and just tag along in Jason's suitcase.
Okay, more the merrier.
You mean his trunk?
I don't have one that big.
Well, then you can go ahead and go in my book bag, you tiny bastard.
God.
So it was a great show.
It looked like it. I mean, it looked great fun.
Well, Khalil, you sound like you desperately need some sleep.
Yeah, I'm going to call it a night, you know, at the end of the show. But it was definitely a year. Of new things and looking forward to posting up all our video on Caster's Corner. And we've got some great video interviews with Charlie Hanneman, Ron Perlman, Charlie Day, and the cast of Being Human and Warehouse 13. So we got some fun stuff coming up this week that I'll be getting to as the week goes on.
Cool. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for this show. You know, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow Khalil on Twitter as well. Khalil, how can people find you again?
You can go over to Caster's Corner. We're on Twitter at Caster's Corner, KASTORSKORNER.
All right, and for Mike, Jay, Khalil, and Mike, this has been the Fanboy Factor. Night, all.
No. Oh,
God. Jesus. Getting old.